I'll have to send you a call. I'll be right back.
Henry, I'll see you again.
I'll be right back.
But I said the other day, I mean, Ellen and I here, just had our hopes to see an empty role, and I said, God, and I think of the things we've done. I figure out the most useless, inefficient yard in the country. So Norris Scott said, great! I must say that I almost spent my time, but I've committed to the damn thing. You know, that's one of the problems, is the only primary commitment I made was in that damn Portsmouth Navy. And Mel said, that came up here around about 18 times, and I swore to you, I said, look, this is a terrible yard. It's the only one we should have got to go. So finally, I guess Cotton prevailed on you. I had to keep my promise.
Oh,
what are you doing with the damn thing?
It's repairing somewhere.
That will all repair it. Oh, we need some more, you know. We may get, as you know, as a result of the thing, we may get this but if we don't, we've got to really go on that. And even if we do, I was going to say on SLVM, Jim, as I understand that if we get it, it will not mean Holmes and all the rest of the way.
No, but we'll have a tougher time because...
Yep. I think
what the Navy hadn't thought through because...
This is an area we've got to be ahead of. I don't want to give away that submarine thing.
I mean, I think now we're going to get SLVMs, but how to phase in the keel laying with the replacement is going to be a tough problem because it's a technical issue because they can lay keels for quite a while longer and not have to take anything out of them.
Let me suggest.
Sure, we could do that, yes.
Get out, take them out. We can talk about that later. John, I've got to get you with your... going away, but that's the money clip campaign contributions. The ones in cash that you don't report.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I
report them all.
I appreciate your generosity.
Mel is your advocate. Well, he's been your strong supporter. We appreciate your strong work. Now, when?
Okay, I'll do the best.
Do everything that's necessary except Stephen. You do that, I'll take off.
Fine, thank you, Henry.
Incidentally, before we talk about the Vietnam thing, Henry, what position could Mel take on this damn SLVMs that would strengthen our hand in the negotiations?
Well, I think we've
got to be in a position where we don't get screwed on the SLVM deal. That's what I
think we're in good shape now if to stick with our present position until there's a twitch in Helsinki. I have the sense that there will be. And then I have to work out with Mel some system by which we can continue to lay keel for Alms.
Right.
We must have an agreement that preserves the Alms, don't you agree?
Yes, as a replacement, at least
as
for
a
the
replacement.
First
hand.
On the Polaris side.
Yeah.
Well, you see, the thing we have to be able to do now, when you talk about the SLVM limitation, it's very appealing to the one side. Chief's favorite, state favorites, and the rest very strong, more than I do, although I've worked for it, we didn't have it before. But looking at it from the standpoint of what we can present to the country, people are going to nitpick that in every damn respect. And on SLVMs, if they see that the Russians are, because of the goal, in the one area where we're ahead, that they can close the gap, we're in a real problem. In other words, in terms of we got took. See?
Well, that's one of the problems that we have. It's a political problem there because of this, the facilities that they've developed and the facilities we haven't developed in this area. Now, the new pictures that just came in this past week show that they are putting a new big missile on their submarines, and they have one up against the dock there. I don't know whether the big missile's on it. And this is has a 3,000, over 3,000 mile range. We've watched those tests. And now we have a first submarine with those missiles, and it's afloat with those missiles aboard. And
how many? 16?
12. What they did, Henry, was they took...
They extended the midsection. I know they extended it by 25.
They extended the midsection and put in more living compartments there. We thought that they were going to put in missiles there. They did not. The picture shows now they have 12 holes and a new living compartment there. And this is it's a big submarine now. And there are much bigger holes there because these are bigger missiles, and they go all the way down through the much deeper graph. But that's...
Right.
You have to give credit to the President for their the kind of facilities they've developed.
We're making the effort because we, you know, to try to get the thing in, and we'll have to see what happens, but let's be very sure.
We have to see what specific proposals...
Some of these private enterprise facilities that we've developed here, I'm a little... all for private enterprise, but they haven't kept up with shipping techniques. Probably the tax companies have a lot to do with it, but it's not the whole story. As far as submarines.
Let me just spend a little time with Tom and ask you to do something. Not now, but do something later. Which I think you're the man to do it at this point. I will probably have to do it at a later point. But let me begin with this proposition that we cannot be in a position in Vietnam at this point of saying, well, we've done everything we can to help these folks, and if they don't make it, it's too bad, and we'll just make the best deal we can and fuck out. I do not say that from a political standpoint. Probably wash. But in my view, at this point, or at any point for that matter, after being in the struggle, if we had done it 5 years ago, never in the last 3 years.
When you came in, you could have done it, but you can't do it now.
We might have done it when we come in. Well, and but you know,
it would have been a mistake, but
yeah,
we could have.
Yeah, well, we could have got away with it. But I'm thinking, not this election, but what I'm thinking of now, Mel, in terms of whoever sits in this chair, whether it's me or somebody else, in January of next year, you will not have a viable foreign policy if we are driven out of Vietnam, of course. Now, with that in mind, I'm going to say some things here that I really don't want to, I can't say it in a NSC meeting, and I can't say it in I would say it privately to Bill, but I just wouldn't want it to get the State Department chairman. But here's what I feel. I feel that we have to, the United States have to risk everything, including the election. And I think that's what I want you to know, because as a politician, I'm prepared to risk everything, including the election, to try to save the situation. Now that means pouring all the air we can, it means pouring all the ships we can, and it means having the option of pigs. Now, I think your recommendation, Henry, as I understand this, is now is that we should concentrate our bombing on the belt in North Vietnam, which directly relates to the battle in Isabel, and that we will do that at this point, you know what I mean, rather than taking out supplies and so forth and so on in North Vietnam and other cities. I think that has to remain as an option. An option which we will use in the event that we feel that there are other reasons to do it. Henry, is that it?
The recommendation is to go up to the 18th parallel. This was the recommendation that Mel made last week.
Right. The 18th.
The 40th mile we gave it to. The 18th
and 18th. 19th. Now, the authorities that now exist, Mr. President, are to go up to 17:35 until May 3rd with no restrictions. That is, they can go every day. And to do a 48-hour strike up to the 19th. The thing that we discussed informally this morning was not to do the 48-hour strike, but to extend the authority from the 17:35 to the 18.
Why temporize that?
What do you mean?
I think a 48-hour strike up to the 19th isn't a bad idea.
It isn't, okay.
To go up to then and come up from that area.
I think there's a lot to be said for having the daily bombing established in the public mind as going on in support of the combat area.
Right. Is the 19th not in support of the combat
area? Well, 19th is pretty far.
It goes far further than that, but I thought the 48 hours it wouldn't hurt to go up that far, to go beyond.
Well,
it doesn't make any difference, but I agree that the most important area to engage the enemy is the...
Oh, we can go 48
hours. Yeah.
We have
But I say everything.
you all of the requests, and that somehow somebody in my office was holding up these requests. Now, I have
requests is getting the latest information where it was, but nevertheless,
on this, Mr. President, I had instructed five people over there that are in my immediate office to tell everybody that those requests were turned down by me. The request to bomb up north on the 8th, on the 14th, and on the 16th, because it was my understanding, and we had to have mutual trust that I could be the fall guy.
And also, we couldn't do it then because we had to have a provocation.
Sure, well, and the idea, though, over in my building, and as far as the chairman is concerned, as far as the joint staff, they think that goddamn Secretary of Defense is holding everything back. Now, I have never held back a single thing as far as Henry is concerned. I have sent over everything, but sometimes it's to the advantage of you, and my job is to protect the president, and when there is a chance to protect him on this, I just took the heat for it. Now, even some of our cabinet people have heard through military channels that the damn Secretary of Defense was not forwarding these things over. When I got your letter on the 18th of March, turning down these things and telling me not to submit them again until the attack began, I waited and sent them over on Friday again because I felt the attack had started Friday.
Then they were approved.
And they were approved Sunday. And we went ahead. But I have not in any way, I just don't ever want you to question my loyalty and.
I don't question.
That was the problem that bothered me.
We just got to be sure. We got to be sure. I want you to know that I want you to be the activist. Now let me come to where what I want you to say. Not now. You're going to have a press conference sometime this week, or were you going to wait?
Well, I'm ready to go, but we called up today. Bill's going tomorrow, so I thought I should.
He is going tomorrow.
Yes, and he is going tomorrow, so I felt that
I need important thing on his situation, and this has got to be synchronized. Bill has got to hit the violation of the DMC. He's also got to hit the.
Are you sure he's going tomorrow? He told me yesterday.
I thought we heard that it canceled.
Well, it was canceled today. He was set to go today and he was going to announce this Bangladesh recognition and some other things.
Yeah.
So we called, when I talked to you last night, I had our people call up Kosky and he said, no, it's canceled today.
Yeah.
It's going to go tomorrow.
We're playing a very cold line out of here. We're referring everything to defense, but and Ziegler is just saying we need to talk with all your people. He's simply saying, well, that we are watching the situation. And we just read what we said previously, you know, we're going to do. Now, when you come down to it, those two, when we start the bombing, when it started, then I need to know the points that have to be driven home hard. First, we are doing exactly what the president wanted. Second, his purposes are three. And then hit hard, even though the damn press will not, the country will get it. The purpose is to protect those Americans that are there, the American lives. The second purpose is to assure that our program of withdrawal and replacement of Vietnamization can continue. In other words, they're all interested in that. And the third, of course, the third is linked inexorably to the second, is to aid the South Vietnamese in their efforts to defend their country. Because at the present time, American lives can't be protected by Americans. We don't have enough. As far as the withdrawal program is concerned, it can't, you know what I mean? It is only made possible the South Vietnamese can defend their own country. Yeah. Also, if you could get in the limit, wherever you can, whenever you can, about POWs, that as long as it's got this, I don't know how you quite sneak that in this dialogue, but maybe you can. But I think the important thing is to say that we are, and then I'm going to go on to say, now what are we doing militarily? All we are doing militarily, in terms of our bombing effort, there are no American ground troops involved in this operation. But
But I think
very advanced, and they can, you know, leave a little doubt.
I think when the bombing starts, there's no sense doing it now.
Yeah.
Once the weather clears and the bombing starts, I think Mel ought to step up there the way he did in Cambodia and every other crisis, and say that first of all, this is no longer guerrilla war. This has now changed its character. This is an invasion by main force units.
This is not a civil war, and it's not a guerrilla war.
This is conventional warfare by the North Vietnamese Army against the South Vietnamese.
It's like Korea.
And that it's in violation of the 54 agreements, of the 68 bombing understandings.
And that's the point. The thing that Bill must get are the diplomatic things.
Right. And we are bombing in the area immediately supporting the combat, where the supply and so forth.
Now, in terms of that, in terms of the situation too, I think that I think if you could, but take in the fact that we've still got 70,000 Americans there, 75, or whatever. There's 75,000 Americans there, and they say, well, the way to get them out is to, you know, put them on a boat. Well, the hell with that. We still have our program to go forward. We're trying to do that, and that we are not. And then I use the term that for example, I noticed that Muskie took on some line. Maybe you've got to take on this sort of thing. That, well, he hopes that we will not use this as a pretext for escalation of the war. Now, who the hell is escalating? Let's understand, they are escalating the war, and we're simply responding. We're responding to an invasion.
It's interesting that Humphrey, who has the better radar of the two,
what's he saying?
He said maybe we should give more military aid to the South Vietnamese.
Now, the other thing, Mel, is that I think you could go on and then come off at you and say, well, now how do you think this is going to affect the other position? You say, and I hear you've got a problem, you know, credit on it. We think they can hold. Abrams thinks they can hold. He says it's certainly. Few things they can hold. They might not. But I think what we have to do is, frankly, without talking Pollyannish, I think we should indicate this is a tough battle, but they are prepared, they're fighting well, and with our assistance, we believe. I use the line, which is not a bad one, it's a football analogy, that their lines will bend, but they will not break. I attribute it to Abrams. It's not bad. If the lines bend, there are many, many battles. The Battle of the Bulge was a bend and a victory. March 21, 1918 was a hell of a bend in the British lines, but a tremendous victory. It's only historians 25 years later finally found out over the Germans. And so it is here. But we have to really, I don't think you want to create an impression of overconfidence or anything, which of course you won't. But I think just, what, do you have any further thoughts, Henry, or you, Mel, as the line? Because I think the line has got to be set here, and then I will back it up when I step out there, probably in the next week sometime. See, I shouldn't speak now, but you agree. You should come out first. Bill should.
If Bill goes on Wednesday, I can go on Friday.
Yes, by all means, go Friday.
I'll just plan to go Friday.
Yeah. And incidentally, could I suggest, Friday anytime. I'm going to say 3 o'clock so that they get morning. Go at your best time, whenever you can. Be sure those damn cameras are wound up and let's build it up. What else do you think you can say? But that's what I mean.
We'll know more about the situation by then. But that's the major line. And right now, everybody is tracking very well. We've now set up a good communication system. The authorities, I want to say in the presence of Matt, he did ask for every authority.
I this morning. Incidentally, I think it's important that you don't need to say anything about it. Everybody knows he's over here. He just tells later that the Secretary of Defense was in here for an hour and a half of conversation.
Mr. President, the important thing is really is I just don't want you ever to have questions about my loyalty. And the reason that I took the hard line downstairs with the chiefs and the joint staff, and the joint staff was, and you know, some of my boys are accused of back. Well, it wasn't held back. I just took the heat.
Well, there are two questions. One is the authorities, the other is the information. No question on the authorities.
Well, we can send even the wrong information.
Well, now we've got it there. Huh?
And that wrong information doesn't mean anything.
Well, I don't mind reading it.
I read it, but...
I just have to know before I see it in the papers, so we'll know how to answer the damn questions, you know what I mean? We don't want it glossed over. And also, I don't want an alarmist either. I think we've got to keep our... what's your evaluation right now?
Well, I think the situation is damn serious if the weather doesn't clear within the next 48 hours.
But if it does?
If it does, we'll give them good luck.
And if you do, you realize that you'll finish it.
Well, we'll still have a B3 front, though.
Oh, I am. You've got that. You concentrate on that.
But if we can push them back beyond the DMZ, that would be a big psychological blow to them.
On the weather, there's no...
It's not good, Mr. President. There are some openings, and they're going to get some... They'll probably get... we'll fly all authorities. Every authority will be flown, but we won't be flying necessarily in that area. There'll be over 200 or so probably in there. D3 front will get the rest.
What about the 52s?
52s, they'll all fly. The problem with putting the B-52s is they'll go in there. But the B-52s are in a very strong salmon envelope there, and you can't keep the salmon active by attacking them at this time because you have to see them.
But they have a lot of countermeasures on there.
As I say, I'm not concerned. This business about not using B-52s across the DMZ is out now. That 40-mile strip, if they can be used without significant risk of the B-52s use.
Well, the B-52s can be the tremendous help to us in this area. It's Abrams Bay.
The 40-mile?
Well, in the 40-mile, most of the stuff that's up in that 40-mile area are sands, and they're not much good against anti-aircraft.
Where could the 52s be about
then? In the area right along the DMZ. And if we can put them into that particular area, right now we're having trouble getting them in because we cannot put the electronic equipment in there and we cannot fire those sands. But we are putting them in and we're taking risks. We may lose the B-52 with what we're doing.
You lose the B-52. We lost one in Florida the other day. So we lose one again now.
We may lose one.
That's right. Well, anyway, the main thing is on this one. There's no option, and I can see now, for not winning.
But I mean, by avoiding the loss, I don't see any option.
Well, we can't lose. And so, under the circumstances, after all this sacrifice and everything, if we do, let me tell you what it does. People say, well, we have the China initiative, we got the Russian initiative, and so forth. But the communists, both China and Russia and all over the world will get a lift out of this that will be unbelievable. And our friends all over Asia and Europe and the Americas will get a letdown from these sanctions. So pursue it. So, saving? They are.
McCloskey came in again today. In the briefing. He's doing quite well.
And you're taking the same.
I'm taking the same.
Just play it cool. You just announced that's the situation. And just hardline everything else.
I was just talking to Al. Our public information strategy is to allow defense.
Yeah.
Our strategy here is to be confident, firm, and not be cute and tricky on the questions that don't matter. This is a mistake we've made before. We tended to get bogged down and fuzzy around, because our general
I wouldn't be, is
no comment. Well, then they ask an obvious question, no comment, or we try to talk around it, and it's meaningless.
No, I agree.
But we make ourselves...
Answer the easy questions. Tell them everything you can. Say, well, I'm not going to comment on that question for all reasons, but for reasons, this question I'll answer.
That's right. It makes it easier for us to
Appear to be as confident,
forthcoming, but not say that I'm going to do.
Not confident about the outcome or
anything. No, that's right.
Just say we're watching it. It's quite about it. I agree. No matter what you say, that you'll have your friends like Pierpoint and so forth.
I call them the
prayer of the crisis and right in class, and the goddamn wire service say there isn't, so somebody is seeing it.
I talked to Gerald Christman about it. So, there was no air crisis in Rutherford yesterday.
We tell
the
time about
that. They made the point that
well, Christ, they meet three times a week. He doesn't understand this, he's improved. Well, I'm ready. He sure protests his lawyer.
Christ, what the hell are your questions?
But it's no sense getting into a fight with him now.
I won't fight him. No, but now he understands that he's got to help fight this battle. And at least he says we can't lose.
You handle it masterfully.
He's got to realize it. Everybody around here's got to realize we aren't going to lose this damn thing. When he says that the weather doesn't break in 48 hours, we lose. I don't believe that.
I don't believe it either.
If it doesn't, I don't think ballots are won or lost that soon. But God Almighty, there must be something that son of a bitching Air Force can do in bad weather. God!
That's what kills one. That's what really kills us.
Huh?
That's what kills us.
Well, the 52s certainly can drop them.
I
says that it isn't wise to use 52s above in the end of other area.
Basically,
and he also pissed on the naval gunfire thing. Now, what the hell? Who's right and wrong?
I trust more on the naval gunfire a hell of a lot more than I trust him. He showed you 7 kilometers Fortune Packard wasn't his, was loyal.
No, I know, but he's not my friend.
But he's not stated.
Rush is just a total loyalist.
That's it.
But God, as I said, if you should talk to Melitzer, he shakes you on your decision in the goddamn thing he's for. Not for the naval gunfire, not for the B-52 strikes up in that area. I think 52 sitting in that 40-mile belt could have a psychological effect. Aren't there anything to get up there?
Mr. President,
they can take out airfields.
Our major thing now is to get across to the Russians, to the Chinese, and to Hanoi that we are on the verge of going crazy. This is how we broke the India-Pakistan situation last year.
With nothing.
With nothing.
With nothing.
By just giving the impression that you were just crazy enough to fight for West Pakistan. If we could make that one stick, we can make this one stick. And we'll escalate it, and that's why we've got a poor thing in there. All these guys who say, what's effective? Health, nothing is going to be pure, should be assessed in pure cost effectiveness. If we start shelling Donghai with naval gunfire, that's something we haven't done yet. And
Donghai are sitting.
That's it. Well, I mean, they had supply dumps outside of Donghai.
I see.
That's right. If we start, and the air, if we start hitting with B-52s north of the DMZ, that's a signal. When we start pouring more airplanes in there, that's a signal. You can't ever prove that any one of them, and if we start getting hit on the B-3 front, he'll need every airplane he's got.
Out there.
Yeah.
But it'll work there too, won't it?
Yes. Actually, where they are now, we ought to be able to screen them, because in the B-3 front, they are on the jungle.
Yeah.
But so we won't be able to see so well. But in the other front, it's a classical infantry battle. And if we can ever get a good day in there, we just ought to wreck them.
By that, then, I can't believe the weather can hang on this. I can't believe it. Does the weather sometimes hang in for weeks at this time of year?
It doesn't normally, but those. It's of course a disgrace, Mr. President. They have to fight in China, in Russia, in any one of our major enemies, we're going to have weather like this. This is not unusual weather around the world if you look at conditions. So why design an airplane in which you can only bomb visually? It's not only visually, it's got to be 4,000 to 5,000 feet. Well, hell, I don't know if this is probably 5,000 feet. Commercial aircraft can land...
Well, you talk about the battle boat, it's just a weather query. It did in the movie, but it didn't actually out there. Those bombers went in and bombed through the snow.
That's right. And Al Haig tells me that in the early stages of the Vietnam War, when they still had the old plant, he was never worried about air support. It was always there. Commercial plane can land with 300 feet. Here they require 4,000 feet. It's ridiculous.
What did Holmes say?
Al
was a bellwether.
Well, he's a good bellwether. He said this was exciting. This is the first positive thing he has heard. He said, keep it up. He said, that's the only way to do it. He used almost the phrase, not as eloquently as you, but he in effect said, they won't blame you for succeeding, and they won't give you credit for failing. I mean, he didn't use exactly those words, but that was the sense of what he used.
On the other hand, suppose the goddamn line breaks. Suppose they take away. Then all we left here, we'll have to go to the, we'll go to the blockade.
Mr. President, I don't think Hue will fall that quickly. They've got their best division in front of them, and the weather is scarcely a bad one.
No, we're not going to borrow trouble, Mr. President.
I think this is our battle of the bulge.
With no battle.
And with no American troops.
Goddamn, we train these troops. They have our equipment.
Yeah, you know, this is, when I compare Rush with Laird, I mean, Rush is charging, he's a has, if he says, terrific, thank the president. And his, you know, Laird is sort of carrying out his orders, but he's...
He said, protesting that he's loyal. God damn it.
Well, it's been...
Both him and Rogers just lived. But is Rogers not going to have a press conference?
I'll check. I doubt it. The major problem is to make sure that if he has a press conference that he talks about Vietnam and not Bangladesh.
Well, you can't do the questions that you're not in. He can't, you know what I mean? If he talks about Bangladesh, he's not making any news. But the question is, when I ask him about Vietnam, the major problem is for him to talk about the damn tongue. But I'm not going to ask him to. I'm going to entertain that. He's got to, Bill has got to, he'll have to play it his own way, but he can't show any weakness. He can show no weakness. He must show no weakness. Henry, the 38th parallel is fine. Is that what it is? 38th? 18th. I'm sorry, I'm thinking of Korea. All right, the 18th. Let him have
it. I'm sort of torn on that strike up to the 19th. I've got nothing against it. I just thought the more we can say it's geared to the battle, the better off we are here.
Well, we don't have to do that right away anyway.
Now, why don't we get the other one started?
Let's let them concentrate on getting that and then have that as the next option.
But I think if we do the
other
one... We've
got to have something in reserve, so we just knock the hell out of everything from up to the 18th. The 19th, I want to plan to have that in one of the contingencies. And also, I want this mining plan ready. They're loading mines, I think.
They're loading mines in the Philippines.
Jeopardizes relations.
Right.
That's not a good idea.
Excellent. We've got our control also.
Okay.
Getting ready to give me my instruction.
I tell him he can't write anything.
No.
I mean, he shouldn't write about social occasions. That's
no, he won't write about social occasions. He won't.
He'll write anything else he wants.
No, but he was really tremendously impressed by it. I thought once, I thought Bob Holman was one of the most extraordinary performers.
Well, Joe, I'll tell you, you can get out of the line to him if you want, that this president isn't a god that couldn't care less about the election in terms of the national security. Did you get that across?
Absolutely.
Good. We're not making these decisions on political grounds. If I was going to do that, I'd have bucked out the first week.
I like